God is my strength. And normally I would title this, God is your strength. Mm-hmm. But at the end of this teaching, I want everyone in their hearts, in their innermost being, to see what I see, that God is my strength. It has to be personal. With God, He is a personal God. And when we read these records from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, all these wonderful people that look to God for their strength, we have to essentially relate that to our lives in this day and time. God doesn't change. He doesn't lie. He's the same today as He was back then. So we can still look to Him for our strength, for our healing, for our deliverance. And we all need strength. We need physical strength. We need mental and emotional strength. We need spiritual strength. And it's just, life can wear you down sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I feel like my get up and go has gotten up and left. So that's when, you know, you need to take a step back and say, yep, I need to do something differently. And we're going to start in Isaiah. So if you want to turn there, in chapter 40. So it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, I think. Unless I threw something else in there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. So first off, there actually are people that have not heard this and have not known this. And I think most of us do know this, but it's a nice thing to share with people that, yeah, you know, it's not my own strength. It's God's strength that sees me through. It's God's strength that encourages me. It's God's strength that gives me hope. And you have to remember who God is. That's why He says these words here. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Just think about that. Ever just walk outside and look at a tree? Look at the sky when there's stars? I mean, you know, it'll blow your mind when you think about it. And think about what God has provided for us. That's actually my family camp teaching, and your manifestations, that God always provides. I mean, it's like the silliest thing, okay? I'm assuming, is this shirt cotton?
Yeah.
Okay. God provided that. Yeah. That grew out of the soil. I mean, is anyone wearing anything gold? Diamonds? God provided that. That came out. Did anyone drive a car here? That's fossil fuel. God provided that. That's renewable. See that piece of wood? God provided that. So that has to be our mindset. We always have to look to God. Now, God not only provides, but we have to look to Him to provide. It's like His strength. God will provide strength to us, but we have to look to Him to provide. Okay, He fainteth not, neither is weary. God is the fountain of living waters. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get burned out. He doesn't get fatigued. He doesn't have a bad day. Now, I wish I could say that about myself, but I don't like to lie either. 29, He giveth power to the faint. And the faint is just where you're just weary. Like, you know, you're just kind of ground down. You're just fatigued. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, there's always a but with God. But they that wait, and wait, I always thought wait kind of meant to be like patient, kind of like to hang out, just, you know, but really wait is a, it's more of an action. It's like you're looking, expecting something to happen. It's not a passive thing. It's a expectation, anticipation. You're anticipating that God is going to help you. But they that wait upon the Lord, and it has to be, your expectation has to be from God. It can't be from your job. It can't be from, you know, anyone else, your family, your money, your anything. It has to be from God. He's the only one that is able to provide that for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's a promise from God. God will increase your strength when you need it. And I would tell you, there's been points in my life that I just thought I had nothing more to give. And yet, I actually didn't have anything more to give. But God had something to give to me, which was His strength. So that's God. And what a beautiful picture of an eagle. Has anyone ever actually seen an eagle flying in the wild? Okay. You know, usually they're not like, you know, like struggling, like, oh my gosh, you know, can't believe I have to fly another 10 yards here. No, they're just up there, usually catching a thermal current. They're just like soaring high above all of the cares and concerns of the world. That's the analogy. So turn to Isaiah 41. I think you can find it from here. Okay, and in verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help thee, yea, I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So the first thing it says here is, "Fear thou not." Now, fear will drain you. That will sap the energy right out of your life. Pretty much worry and fear will just take it right out of you. I mean, if you want to be fatigued, if you want to be tired, if you want to just like not have the energy that you need, the encouragement, the strength, then, you know, be worried, be afraid. But, see, God instructs us to fear not. And He says that for a couple good reasons, is that, for I am with me. That was my thing, my third song there, in case anyone, you know, I would never always be with you, never forsake thee. And, you know, when we stand alone, we try to stand alone, and we try to, like, you know, draw up that strength from within, like, suck it up, like, this is my life, and, you know, I'm going to be able to just endure and bear it on my own. It's a recipe for disaster. God doesn't want us to be that way. He promises that He is always there with us. So that's how we could face those things in our life that would normally wear us down. And, you know, a lot of times we don't need strength for ourselves. We need it to take care of someone else. I mean, that's, you know, I'm probably going to cry, but taking care of my mom, I just needed strength. And there was times where I just didn't think I could do it. And again, I couldn't do it. It's God that gave me and my sister strength. So for 8 years, when I would come home from work, instead of just chilling out, I would, you know, I don't want to, this isn't a pity party, believe me, but I just want to show you what God did for me. That's why God is my strength. So at times, 3 nights a week, I would stay over there. And, you know, I'd work all day, and then I just wanted to, You know, basically, I just didn't want to go over there, but I did, but I didn't. You know, it just was overwhelming at times. But God never let me down. And you know something? Honestly, that was nothing compared to what some other people have to deal with. You know, that was 8 years. I was so happy to do it, but it's over now. And but there's things, you know, there could be physical things. There could be, you know, financial things. There could be things that have been, that just have been with you for your whole life. And yet God is still there to see you through. I mean, God is just so loving, so faithful, and so wonderful to give us these words so that we know that, yes, you know, I am never alone. God is always with me. And he holds you up. Isn't that a great, you know, mind picture also, where he just supports you. He supports you with his word. He supports you with his presence. He supports you with his strength. So turn to 2 Timothy, please. And chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's figure of speech, right? Many ends. It emphasizes it. It's important. We have God's power. We are not without strength. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is some serious horsepower there. And we have God's love. God is love. He loves us. And again, there's nothing like being loved by somebody that is always there with you. And we have a sound mind. And you know, sound mind is really important. A sound mind is a mind that puts the word on in their mind and walks out on it. I mean, that's really what a sound mind is. An unsound mind is someone that just is helter-skelter. There's no direction. They're here. They're there. And I've dealt with them. I mean, you know all my stories. I could tell you plumbing stories left and right, but I mean, here's one. I did a job for a doctor in Gladwin, and I had to put in it's different names for it. It's a batch feed garbage disposal. It's the kind that you have to put the thing in to turn it on because there's no switch on the wall. There's no wiring for it. It's the most expensive garbage disposal. And that's what he had before, and that's what I replaced it with. So I sent him a bill. He never paid his bill. So I call him up. As a doctor so-and-so, you never paid your bill. He goes, it was too expensive. So I said, you have the most expensive garbage disposal. And he's just like, I'm talking to him. It's like he's not comprehending. So finally, in desperation, I said, okay, how about you just pay for the garbage disposal? I will show you the bill, what I paid for the garbage disposal. He goes, no. So, exactly, yeah, they're out there. So, I am hesitant to tell you the rest of the story, but I will tell you. So he dies, has a heart attack. And I'm not saying it's related, but so I sent the bill to his estate and got a check immediately. So... Anyway, but my point is, like, there's just unsound people, the unsound minds. But a sound mind is one who puts the word on, and they stand on God's word. And that word is strengthens you. It energizes you. It is alive turn to Hebrews. I'm laughing because I see Michelle back there because she deals with, we probably spot the same customer. Okay, turn to Hebrews.
Hebrews 4.
Yep. And you know, we all, if you deal with the public, you deal with anyone who basically doesn't have a renewed mind, doesn't have Holy Spirit, that's kind of what you get. So don't really be surprised. Don't let it steal your peace. Okay, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That word quick means alive. It is energizing. And it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divide and sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, a lot of people critique God and critique God's word. And guess what? It's the word that critiques them. For some crazy reason, I joined nextdoor.com. I know that the reason was that I had to get rid of some things from my mom's house. So it's a local thing. So it's a neighborhood thing. And so I get their emails with like a tagline on it. And one of the taglines was, please pray that the violence stops in the city of Philadelphia. So I'm thinking, wow, what a wonderful thing to put on here. So, got me so worked up. Not really, but so here someone goes, prayer will not help at all. So it's like, I have my real name on there. Otherwise, I would have really like, you know, yeah, says who? You just like insulted, you know, 3/4, 9% of the world that actually believe in God. Yeah. And guess what? Prayer is probably the only thing that's going to help the situation. But that's the power of God's word. And I can't emphasize enough that the word has to be built in our hearts, because that is what gives us the energy, which gives us the strength. And, you know, we have an adversary. And guess what? He wants you to believe that your life is hopeless. There's no way out. You are weak, and that is your lot in life. But that's a lie. And, you know, when he confronted Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was in the wilderness, the first thing he said was, does anyone know? If thou be, that's right. So one of the things that we learn is that we are sons of God with what?
Wow.
That's right. So we have power to fight the adversary. We have power and strength to live our everyday lives victoriously. And so so he said, if thou be the Son of God, take these stones and turn them into bread. So he was hungry, right? Mm-hmm. He'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So what would be wrong with him making those stones into bread? I will tell you. It would be him providing for himself by his own strength, providing his solution. And that's what the adversary is going to try to do to you. He's going to try for you to provide your own solution, to provide your own strength, to provide your own power, instead of looking to God. There's a great verse that says, be still and know that I am God. And be still means to cease from your effort. So that's what we're to do. We're to cease from our efforts of trying to provide for ourselves, and we're to look to God to provide for us. And he also said, it is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, don't feed your body junk food, and don't feed your mind junk food. Right? Because you got to unplug sometimes, because you turn on the news, you listen to the radio, it's the same old, hasn't changed in generations, you know? It's always the doom, the gloom, someone's at war with someone says something bad about someone else. It's, you know, it's always, there's no hope. There's always like, you know, it's never going to be the same again, this and that. And I totally disagree with that. I think there's going to be a resurgence, a renaissance of God's word living in our country. I mean, that's the way it feels to me. And that takes all of us, you know, doing something. So, let's see now. How am I with my time? Okay, I am going to go to Psalm 18, and so are you, if you so choose. Middle of the Bible. Another great example of someone who derived their strength from God is David. David wrote a lot about it in the Psalms, and we can learn from that, certainly. Because he didn't have it easy. There was a lot of times he was in hiding. People were trying to kill him. I don't know what that's like. But it can't be too much fun. And you have to be able to rest in those situations. You have to be able to get strength from God, of course. So here is the Psalm of David, Psalm 18, and we're going to read in verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. See how personal this is? See how this is coming from his heart. Remember, God said that David was a man after his own heart. And this is the heart of David. This is what God was to him. He was his rock. He was his strength. He was his fortress, his place of refuge. He was his deliverer, and he was his strength. And it was my. And that's how we have to feel in our hearts. We have to feel like, my God. This is my God, and he is my strength. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I will tell you my own faults. Confess your faults one to another. My tendency is just to clam my mouth shut when I know I should be speaking God's word. And I'm working on it. I've gotten better because basically, you know, it kind of pisses me off that the adversary is so bold with what he says that I can't muster up the boldness to, you know, speak God's word. And, and part of it's fear. You know, I'm afraid of, like, the response, which is totally ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So, you know, I will speak for myself. I just need to open up my mouth a little bit more and, practice what I preach, right? And, but that's how David really, really felt. And in verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. When I talked about wait, it's like an expectation, an anticipation. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, You know, we're to be of good courage. That means to not be discouraged. So that's what we do. We just expect our answer from God, and we expect our heart to be strengthened, because that's what God does. Turn to Psalm 28. Don't have to go far. Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. I mean, when you know what God has given to you, then your heart is just thankful. It just rejoices of the grace, the mercy, the goodness, the love, the strength of God. That is our natural response. You know, somewhere it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So you have to have that joy in your heart to carry you through. That thankfulness, that gratefulness. Turn to Psalm 73. See how I put all of these in order for you so you'd be able to find them? People on their tablets and their cell phones, I'm not sure how that works. Can you scroll down? Can you scroll? No, it's easier just to put it in.
Depends on how far away it is.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty far away. Let's see. Okay. Where am I? 73:26. This is actually a psalm of Asaph. This isn't a psalm of David, but it's a great psalm. 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You know something? It will fail because it's a limited supply. And it's by your own five senses. If you try to, that's another thing that'll really, you know, wear you out. If you try to do things leaving God out of the equation, it's just, it'll fail you. And faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. There's that but. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. How long?
Forever.
Forever. Right? This world is just temporary. Our life, you know, when you think, okay, so let's say I live 90 years old. How does 90 years on this earth compare to eternity? I mean, seriously, this is our point of perspective. I should have like a little bell I can ring. Ding, ding, ding. Point of perspective time. Pay attention. I'm big on perspective. So this is the perspective of the morning. Like, don't get too worked up over things, certainly that you can't control. Don't get too worked over things that are going to be gone eventually. But just look, you know, part of the thing of waiting is expecting and looking towards. You know, that's what the hope does for us, you know. And that puts this life into perspective. You know, we look to the author and finisher of our faith. We look to his coming again. That's what anchors ourselves. That's what anchors our soul. That's what keeps us grounded and not just like, ugh. Okay. Okay. Psalm 119:28. Okay, 119:28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. This is really a great verse. My soul melteth. It really means it weepeth. And heaviness is sorrow. My soul weepeth for sorrow. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. And, you know, this is a very comforting verse. And, God is the God of all comfort. And one of the great things the Word does is the Word does strengthen us and it does comfort us. And, I mean, you know, there's things that happen in our lives where it just, it knocks the wind out of our sails. To, you know, what's all the cliches, you know, knocks the wind out of our sails. no one knows any cliche. What's it?
You know,
yeah, that's it. Pulls the rug. Exactly. All those. And that's, you know, but God is able to cover for that. God is able to, like, raise us back up and, you know, put us where we were before that happened. God, you know, God doesn't only heal and deliver. He actually restores. And a lot of things that have happened to people, etc., you know, he's able to restore them to the place they were previously. I mean, that's amazing. You know, Jesus Christ came to heal the brokenhearted. And that word brokenhearted means shattered in pieces. And the healing is he's able to take those pieces and put them together and make them whole again. And that's what he does for us. And, you know, you have to, when you think about strength and, you know, living this life, you have to remember it's God in Christ in you. You have the power. You have the ability. It's, we're not just out here just floating around, just like getting tossed to and fro by every, you know, wind and doctrine. So, you know, we also have to remember that. Go to Philippians chapter 4, please. Okay, Philippians 4:13. This is one of the first verses I ever memorized at Bible school. I can do how many things?
All things.
Okay. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I will read you what Walter says in his Working Translation. He says, I prevail in all things by him who empowers me. I prevail. You prevail, not because of yourself, but because of God in Christ in you who empowers you. Turn to Ephesians, please. Chapter 3. And verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We have the ability to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. And when the Apostle Paul was talking about speaking in tongues and how that edifies oneself, that's another way to be energized through your spirit. You speak in tongues. You pray to God. You can pray with your understanding. You speak in tongues. That edifies the inner man. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. We are going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, we do not become tired, we do not become fatigued, we not lose courage, we not become discouraged. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's where to keep our focus, our expectation, our anticipation, our looking, is not on all the craziness, not on, you know, your inability or your weakness or whatever, but we're looking to eternity, to the hope of Christ's return. And it talks about, you know, today's time is just being a light affliction. This is going to just be all a distant memory someday. And I don't know if any of you can relate to our outward man perishing, like, you know, getting a little older. Actually, my shoulder kind of hurts right now. It's like, I can't help you there, you know. Although, I see some very wonderful, vibrant, older people. So, you know, it's not like we have to, like, be riding off into the sunset at 65 years old. You know, I still have a few good years left in me. You know what I'm saying? So there is hope for that. And I want to close in Ephesians 6. I'm in Galatians. That's why this verse is not making sense. Well, I said, be weary not in well doing. I'm thinking, don't remember picking that verse out. But it might fit. Little panic attack here. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Okay, this is finally, after this whole long teaching, finally, my brethren, here's my exhortation to you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's the summation of my whole teaching. We are to be strong in God's power. We are to be strong in God's ability. We can walk victoriously in this day and time, looking to God for our strength, because he is my strength. He's your strength too. And God never fails. God will always be with us, and he is our strength. So, Father, thank you for this wonderful morning, how we can just see you as our absolute strength, and that we can just be energized by your Spirit, by your Word, by your hope. Thank you, God, for this wonderful morning and for always, always being with us and providing for us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.